For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Tommy, Ocean Chinook or Puget Sound Coho, what is your palate favorite?
And you drop that kokanee on top of that barn door halibut's head, 67 feet of water, and he was not happy about that.
Well, I don't know. What do you think? Boxers or briefs?
Ooh, I'm going to have to go with a European cut Speedo.
Fantastic. Excellent choice.
I love tuna. I do love tuna.
Heck yeah! Hey, you know, I have a buddy who refers to Canadian geese as flying carp. Obviously, he's not cooking them.
Right? He clearly. Right? Oh, Ocean Chinook.
Seriously?
Hands down.
Really?
Hands down. I don't fish for coho.
Ah, good point. Hey, speaking of grind, can you tell the difference between ground deer and ground elk? Honestly, taste the difference.
You know, Dwayne, we only get one chance to live this life. Mm-hmm. And you will always regret the things that you don't do. So you know what I tell people? Buy the damn boat.
Hey, you know, the facts are, some days are just a grind. Welcome to Fish Hunt Northwest, the number one fishing and hunting talk show throughout the Pacific Northwest and beyond. Now here's your host, Dwayne England, and of course, the infamous Tommy Donlan. Hello, and welcome to Fish Hunt Northwest. Dwayne England, Tommy Donlan. Physically, we're here.
Man.
Emotionally, we're here.
Last week was touch and go. For me.
See if we can get through tonight with our voices intact and get through this entire onslaught of information. Once again, here in studio, coming at you to cover this evening here at Fish on Northwest. Welcome to the show, everybody tuning in. And if you are tuning in for the very first time here on Root Sports, first of all, thank you. Take some time, if you would, jump on over to our webpage, www.fishhuntnw.com. There, you're going to find some coupons that you need to take advantage of. Edge rods, all edge rods, 20% off with the coupon code at checkout, FHN20. If the rods are not already reduced or they find themselves within another special. And Tommy, lots of folks are buying those rods and saving a ton of money. So check out edge rods and again, FHN20 at checkout. Of course, Phelps Game Calls, Fish Hunt NW10 at checkout for 10% off all Phelps calls for the entire year as we work our way through the season. So, we're back after an extremely busy week. Mm-hmm. Sportsman Show, Washington Sportsman Show, you at the Boat Show. And, battling the elements this time of year and the germs and all that's going on.
Yes, indeed.
You're on the rebound. My voice still is not 100%, and here we got to head down to Portland.
That's right. Weekend. No breaks.
No breaks, but, you know, it's well worth it, right? The interaction with the people. I tip my cat to a cat. I don't have a cat. Our cap to the folks that are following us, Tommy, and, just embracing our content and also patronizing our sponsors. Mm-hmm. The Edge Rods thing is blowing up, folks. You guys are taking advantage of what we bring you, and you are enjoying fishing the very best rods in the Northwest.
Yeah, without a doubt.
And it shows at the Sportsman Show, they're just coming in and they come back over to the booth to blame me. It's like, I blame you.
Yeah.
I just dropped 500 on a handful of rods here and I blame you. And I'm like, perfect, blame me all day long.
Yep.
And of course, over at Defiance Marine with the Allied Series, the Defiance Series.
The new 26-foot Defiance.
Oh, I'm going to go see that tomorrow.
Walked on that today, man. Yep. It's beautiful.
I'm going to go see that tomorrow at the boat show. People are raving about it. And of course, the 21-foot Allied, the Mustang Hardtop. Mm-hmm. Boy, those are walking out the door, man.
That's right.
And there, again, people are coming to the booth and pointing their finger at me.
That's right. You only live once. You got to buy the boat.
Got
to
buy the boat.
That's all there is to it.
This is the podcast. You're going to find that out the easy way. But, lots going on with these shows. It continues here through the weekend. I'll be up there tomorrow and at the boat show. And then we pack up and head south
for
this whole next week. down there to Portland.
Yep, and that's not the only thing going on. We got some more clam digs
more clam
coming
digs.
Up. I gave it a try with the family, first time ever here a couple weeks ago.
During the monsoon.
And I will say, you got to check the weather first.
Uh-huh.
You got to check the weather. It's really hard to do with the 9-foot swell. But hey, we got more digs coming up. Long Beach, Twin Harbors, Copala, Smoke Rocks, February 6th through the 12th. Check your race to see what times are open. And then I'm looking forward to March because we are actually going back to some daytime digs.
Those are fun.
Yes.
That's when you get the kids out. We have a blast. And the weather's much nicer and more conducive. So, all right, we're going to get into a whole lot tonight here. Very excited to be back in studio. Running down the show. The recap of the Washington Sportsman Show, Tommy, hey, what we learned, and thanking everybody for the amazing support. It actually blew our minds. From the 2nd Legislative District, representative and friend J.T. Wilcox, House Bill 2434, Tommy, for 2023-24 session. What's it all about? Well, J.T.'s here to talk about that. And then part two with Representative Wilcox and the reality of removing the Fish and Wildlife Commission. Is it possible? I guess we'll get into it. First time to the show, talk to this, gentleman in Puyallup at the Washington show, Randy Newberg. What an outstanding individual, public land hunter, advocate for wildlife conservation, and host at the Fresh Tracks podcast and, of course, FreshTracks.tv. Washington State, ground zero. Something not really of a badge of honor. We'll get into that with Randy. Part two with Randy, of course, hunting and fishing in Washington. What we need to do. Also, Randy's upcoming seminars down there at the Pacific Northwest Sportsman Show. Tommy, then we're going to get a little discussion on winter steelhead and, of course, winter blackmouth. What's going on right now? What's to come? We got some things to review there. Then we'll close out the show a little bit more on where we're going to be and what's going on as we move our way on through February. Can you believe it's already mid-February?
Man, it's going so fast.
It's flying by.
Yeah.
I guess the winter's been so mild in some cases, you just kind of forget that it's truly winter.
Right.
We've got
right.
a lot of mid-50 degree days.
We have.
And no, yeah. I'm not a global warming conspiracist. I mean, it's just like it's a weather trend.
And not so much rain either, you know?
Not? Well,
yeah.
I mean, when it shows, it's here.
Yeah.
And then, this week's been pretty mild.
Right.
And we'll kind of talk about that later on the show as we talk about river levels and opportunity steelhead fishing. Thanks coming up. So we're going to jump out for a quick break. We come back, we can kind of do a little recap on the Washington Sportsman Show, what we learned from all of you, and thank you so much for your support. We'll do that. We come back from this break right here, Fish on Northwest.
Defiance Marine is the one-stop shop for the Pacific Northwest angler. Defiance Marine guarantees the best price on a new and best service on a repower for your current boat. Defiance Marine is a Honda Premier dealership and one of the largest on the West Coast. Defiance Marine is a boat dealer who proudly sells Defiance, Allied, and Arima boats. All boats are built by West Coast fishermen for West Coast fishermen. Defiance Marine has all your boating needs to help you get out on the water.
If you're looking for the best fishing rods in the world, you really do need to take a look at the Edge rods. I designed and built new machinery, and I think this new machinery has enabled us to build blanks like no other company can build without this equipment. There is no other rods in the world that are as good as these rods. You owe it to yourself to take a good look at them.
All right, welcome back here to the show, to Angling Tommy Donlin. Nice to be back in studio, my friend.
It is, it is. It's, and in one piece.
And in one piece. Yeah. It's tough to fit a live show in during the weeks of these shows. I'm going to try to spool something up as I head down to Portland next week. And then you'll be off. You got some stuff going on. But eventually we'll get back here in studio together and, do what it is we like to do each and every
That's
week.
Right.
But I got to tell you, man, that sportsman show, Washington Sportsman Show, probably one of the better turnouts we've seen in a few years. I mean, we're far beyond COVID, and last year people didn't really care anyway. And
right,
but we're really kind of getting back, and people are coming up, and they've worked really hard, the Laughlin Group and whatnot, and working with Trey Kerskadden and those and the media folks, trying to really promote it, and they're doing a pretty good job. And I think the numbers through the doors daily would reflect that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So while I was busy fighting strep throat and sinusitis and
all those good things,
being on my deathbed, and not able to make it to the Sportsman Show, you were there. So I got to ask, folks were engaging in the content. What was the hot topic? What was buzzing? What was going on?
Yeah, it's interesting. Backing up, starting this show off first year, and you joined me year two, and we've been partners ever since in this thing we are doing week in and week out. And, it's a little different of a format we have here at Fish on Northwest with the in-studio presentation. The fact we go out on the water, you and I love getting on the water.
Yes.
Getting out in the woods, and we film as much as we can, and we introduce those segments of that outdoor content from here within the studio. Mm-hmm. The mindset being we're not going to load up our YouTube channel with a bunch of videos. We're going to utilize it as content, talking points, teaching points.
Yep.
That's what we do.
Yep.
So interestingly enough, and thank you, everybody, showing up to the booth to talk, converse about the show. We're watching it on the big screen TV I have in the booth. We're showing some of the great stuff we did this last year. We had some epic times, right? But man, the conversation, time and time again, comes back. And I'm talking like 80-85% of the conversation, young and old, is, well, just this. Mm-hmm. The conversation, the guests we have on tonight, Representative J.T. Wilcox, Randy Newberg.
Right.
We're going to have conversations about bills and legislation and how that affects us who are passionate about hunting and fishing.
Yeah.
We can talk with Randy about things going on in Washington and what he's seen out there on the periphery amongst other states and how we compare. You and I go in depth covering North of Falcon.
Yep.
We go in depth covering legislative session. We cover, okay, we're rolling through steelhead season. What are we getting? What are we not getting?
Right.
That's what's driving the conversation.
Yeah. Well, and if you think about it too, we cover the entire life cycle, right? So it's like you can just focus on just the fishing and we can show all these great videos of catching these fish, right? But ultimately that is one of the end results, right? It really starts with the legislation,
correct,
right?
Yeah.
And so we cover that. Yeah. And then we cover, well, how exactly does this work, right? We've got guides come on, we've got charter captains come on, talk about how does this work, how does this fishery work, right? Then we do a baylob that says, here's the gear that you need to do this fishery.
Yeah.
And then we have a video showing how to do the fishery, right?
Teaching
so it covers A to Z.
Yeah, the takeaway there is we not only, you know, preach what we do, but we go out and do what we preach, and we have one guy says, do you guys ever lose any fish? Because it's like, well, yeah, they just don't make it on video.
Yeah.
I mean, who wants to watch that, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, all in all, it also reminds me, and I had the conversation with a lot of folks, and, you know, you younger folks, men and women, showing up to the booth to talk about these things, 20 and 30-somethings, I'm appealing to you, 20 and 30-somethings, that's for us, Tommy, that's the recruitment. That is the up and coming generations that we really need. Like when you and I were, well, way back when I was in my 20s and 30s, you just not too far out of that. But everything wasn't so politicized.
Right.
You know, the commission, I believe, and I believe JT would correct this if not. I believe it came to you know, be in 1994.
Yeah.
I had 25 years of fishing without a commission.
And sure.
We enjoyed the bounty in the 80s and 90s with, you know, lots of fish, lots of opportunity, lots of hatchery fish.
Well, and I think, you know, the other thing that people don't realize is that every opportunity we have is, you know, fighting tooth and nail to get that opportunity.
Right.
Right. And if you don't know that, you just assume, hey, I fish for Puget Sound Chinook this year. I'm going to do it next year, and it's going to be the year after, right? But you look at fisheries that we've lost, like look at the San Juan Islands blackmouth fishery that we've completely lost at this point, right?
Yep.
So no fishery is free, and it's important that, you know, when you look at data analytics, right, and you look at our demographic that watches this show, you know, you're predominantly looking at, you know, 35 to 56-year-olds, right?
Yeah.
But it is so important for that, you know, 18, 20 to 35 year old to understand the political environment that we're in, because that is now going to be their fight as well.
100%. I mean, that's not going away.
Yep.
And if you're passionate, maybe you've been recently introduced to fishing, or you've been doing it for a while, 10 years or more, if you're passionate about your fisheries, you don't understand how the Stillaguamish component hinders us in Puget Sound opportunity.
Right.
You're not aware of the Hood Canal component that hinders us in Puget Sound opportunity.
Right.
You're not aware of how much conversations go on between co-management and WDFW, how budget affects what DFW can even lay out on the table.
Right.
So there's so many things behind the scenes that drive, as you mentioned, our opportunity, whether we're going to get that fishery or not. And so our job over the next several years is going to be continual recruitment of the 20 and 30 somethings to draw them in with our content and educate them and, you know, show them to go out and be successful, but also educate them on the backside how they need to be involved, how they need to email and phone call legislators and persons involved with this thing.
So, absolutely.
Anyway, all right, jumping out for a quick break. Nice little recap there on what we learned. Don't go anywhere. Jumping out for a break. We come back. Representative J.T. Wilcox. Great conversation ahead with him right after this break, right here, Fish on Northwest.
Sportco, an outdoor emporium, is the largest local outfitter in the Northwest since 1975, providing thousands of people affordable outdoor gear. This summer, make your next outdoor adventure more affordable by shopping at our warehouse-style pricing. We are a local Scotty dealer offering sales, service, and repair. Located in Fife and Seattle, come visit us today. The outdoors awaits you.
All right, welcome back here in studio, Dwayne England, Tommy Donlin, and welcoming to the show, this time via the Zoom. Tommy wasn't able to make it in. Leg session's a little busy.
Yep.
So from the 2nd Legislative District, Representative J.T. Wilcox. How you doing, my friend? Great to see you.
Doing great. Glad to be back. I just want to let you know I'm in kind of an ante room off of the House chamber. We're in session, and if someone walks behind me, it's not because they're going to assault me. They just happen to walk into this little conference room.
You are extremely busy this time of year. Tommy and I completely understand. And so the fact you're taking time out this evening to join us, we can't thank you enough. Couple things, on our radar that have caught our attention, along with many other folks and things you've introduced this session, 60-day session, I've been led to believe. Looks like your primary sponsor on no less than about 8 bills, 7 of them, if my reading is correct, have something to do with salmon recovery and fish and wildlife. So credit to you in that regard. And then, of course, your co-sponsor on a host of other ones that we just don't even have time to touch. But the ones we're interested in, let's go ahead and start off tonight. I want to kind of delve into House Bill 2434, Fish and Wildlife Commission. This is basically eliminating the Fish and Wildlife Commission in order to redirect efforts towards fishing and hunting culture for tribal and non-tribal persons. Tell us about this bill and why you introduced it.
Well, first of all, this is a little bit of a hand grenade thrown out there in the discussion. It's not a little adjustment. It's sort of an earthquake in fish and wildlife world.
Yeah.
But it's because we've got a huge problem out here. And we need to have a bigger discussion than we've had before. The Fish and Wildlife Commission was established by a citizens initiative quite a few years ago. And I don't take it lightly that I'm talking about overturning it. But I've talked to some of the people that were involved in the original initiative, and they think that the commission has gone awry and has begun to go totally off the rails in terms of its adherence to the intent of both the initiative and the mission of the Fish and Wildlife Department. And part of the reason is we've got a governor that for the first time in quite a few years has served 3 terms. So right. Governor Inslee mm-hmm. has appointed all of the commissioners. And so it is really one person's design rather than any checks and balances. And it's become very plain that a couple of things are happening. First of all, they don't really take seriously their mission to provide opportunities for people that hunt and fish. And I'm close to tribes because I understand that if it hadn't been for tribes and the Bolt decision, none of us would have any fish right now, and probably not a lot of game either. So they're important for all of us. And I don't think that the Fish and Game Department understands that their mission is to provide opportunities for people that hunted fish. And then the other thing that I think is incredible to me, for a group of people that supposedly was vetted by the governor's office, statements have come out over the last few months that make it plain that they have great scorn for their obligation to consult with tribes. And it's as if they don't understand that the Bolt decision is a thing mm-hmm. that is binding on them. And I cannot believe that the governor's office and they would be so careless as to misunderstand that that is one of the major safeguards we have, providing opportunities to hunt and fish, and that they're bound by the Supreme Court of the United States to pay attention to that. And what has really happened, because you've got this appointed body, is nobody is really responsible. They're not elected. They are not obligated to, really have any public approval. They're only obligated to the governor, but they also provide a lot of cover for the governor. So he can always say, look, these decisions are not so great, but they're appointed and, they're empowered to hire the director and also set policy. I don't think it's a great choice to replace them with a direct appointee of the governor and make Fish and Wildlife a cabinet agency. However, if we did that, at least the governor would be directly responsible. I also want to say that in my bill, it says that that would take effect in 2025 when we would have a new governor for reasons that a lot of you can imagine.
Yeah.
So I want to start this discussion. I want to make it very plain that the current system isn't working. I'm starting out with the idea that it should be a cabinet agency, but I am 1,000% open to better ideas. And the whole bill process is designed to allow people to amend when a better idea comes up. And that's why you have hearings. And it may very well happen. I don't think it's going to happen this year. Mm-hmm. I think we've released the hand grenade and we're going to have a big discussion. We'll carry that on in the near future. But it has certainly put the commission on notice.
All right. Hey, JT, let's talk about the process a little bit. So you introduced Bill 2434 with your co-sponsors. What is it going to take to get this through to fruition?
Well, first of all, it was not given a hearing, although I've been told that the chair of the Ag and Natural Resources Committee, who's a friend of mine, will give it a hearing a little later in the session. And that's what I really want. Okay. Again, I'm not sure that I've got the perfect solution here. I want that hearing. I want people to be able to come in and vent and present their solutions. And what that would do is give us, I think, an opportunity to create new legislation for next year.
Yeah. Yeah, I think introducing the hand grenade, as you said, first step is probably more so of an educational process and initiating the conversation, so to speak. So I want to take a quick stop right there. When we come back after this quick break, I want to kind of pick it up from there through the process and just, you know, having the conversation to make folks aware and start having that topic bounce back and forth. So don't go anywhere. We'll jump out for a quick break. More with Representative J.T. Wilcox. We come back after this break right here, Fish on Northwest.
You haven't been here, but you know it. You've heard the sounds, smelt the air, and you've seen where your heart lands, if not yet. You haven't been here, but you've longed for a destination near or far, where time spent with loved ones and friends will go into the night and last in memories for a lifetime. You haven't been here, but you're on your way to a place not far. ExploreTheDalles.com.
All right, welcome back here in studio, Dwayne England, Tommy Donlin, and guest from the 2nd Legislative District, Representative J.T. Wilcox. And J.T., so before the break, we're kind of talking about you introducing this bill, and, you know, you basically have already said you don't, you know, see it going anywhere. It's nice that maybe later in session it's actually going to get a hearing, and I kind of left off with that and the fact that you got to start the conversation at some point. And I think, as you would probably agree, education on a particular topic and the history of and educating folks as to what it's become, I mean, generating the conversation so folks are truly aware of what's going on and where we're trying to steer it in the future is important. I think you are more so going to accomplish that this year. Talk a little bit about the importance of that, bringing it up this first year, and kind of what you're hoping to achieve in that regard.
Well, the legislature is designed, honestly, to do things slowly. This is a short session, so stuff that isn't already on the rails doesn't really succeed.
Yeah.
But you plant a seed and you gather allies. And as you can imagine, I'm in the minority. I'm a House Republican. Yep. And I need some Democrats to be on board, and I've got a few of those. But we also need a wider audience than, you know, middle-aged, chubby white guys like me who live on the Nisqually River and have a culture of fishing.
Yeah.
And this is why tribes are important. Tribes are hard to ignore because there's something like 20-0 in federal court. And there are many tribes that agree with me that Fish and Wildlife Commission is out of control, and the sort of quotes that I gave you or near quotes I think are very offensive to them. And so we need to have our allies lined up. We're going to have a different governor next year who I think is going to be, regardless of who it is going to start with a fresh set of eyes. Whatever we do, we want to end up with a result, whether it's my bill or someone else's bill or a Fish and Wildlife Commission that understands that they don't get to do it just their way. They have to follow the will of the people and the will of the legislature.
Yeah,
and I think you bring up a good point. You know, and I think about this all the time when we go through our salmon season setting process. We are so lucky that we have tribes here in Washington State that we can co-manage the fisheries with, because they are just such a strong proponent for hatcheries. If we didn't have them, I'm afraid we would just get absolutely crushed. So as we look at this bill, right, and we talk about, you know, maybe it doesn't clear the Senate this year, how does that look going into next year, and what does it really take to get traction on that bill to get it through the Senate?
Well, I'm in the House, but it has to go through both chambers. Right. And so what we do is we have a coalition next year that probably includes you and your listeners, and we get sponsors in both sides. We are going to have a new legislature next year, mm-hmm. and it's going to have a different partisan balance, and maybe even new committee chairs and ranking members. So we get them on board, and I think it's important that whatever governor we have understands this is an effort that isn't going to go away. They're going to have to pay attention to us, and there can be two outcomes. One is we change the structure, and all these commissioners lose their jobs, or we create enough political pressure that they understand that they have to do things differently than they have. And either one of those is a better outcome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think credit to you for having the foresight to introduce a bill of this magnitude in this session this year, you know, foreshadowing down the road of exactly what you just spoke of, changing of the guard, so to speak, in some positions throughout the House and the Senate, for sure, and different persons in seats that oversee committees and whatnot. So credit to you to, introduce this in a time where obviously it would be very difficult to get something like this on through. But again, generate the conversation, start the education. You're right. We're on board. You can count on us next session to help this thing grow legs and pull in those sponsors, those co-sponsors for you from the other side of the aisle, and convince people that we need to redirect where this is going, and we need a change in direction with the commission, or we're going to really be struggling here in years to come.
You're absolutely right. I'm so glad that you understand how this works. So many people don't.
Yeah, 100%. What's the best way, real quick, JT, before we wrap it up here, what's the best way for persons to log in or get on the legislative site and track exactly where these bills are in the process?
Well, when I get a hearing date, I'll let you know, and okay. I'll let some other broadcasters and press know. And that will be the time to log in when it hits an agenda. And also, there's a lot of ex-commissioners that are on board with this.
Yeah.
Even a lot of WDFW staff that understands correct. We've lost our way, we're going to get better. And I expect those ex-commissioners to express opinions in public. That'll be powerful.
Perfect. Well, always awesome. Appreciate your time, especially when you're so busy. A lot easier to track you down when you're out of session. And by that time, we should probably jump in the boat together and go wet a line. That would be
I'm ready for that. Yeah. I'm playing a lot of fishing, and I'd love to do some with you. I'm sorry I haven't been able to do it in the past.
Hey, the invite's always happening, and eventually we're going to get you out there, so no problem. Appreciate your time tonight, Representative Wilcox, and we'll be in touch.
Good seeing you all. Thank you.
Have a good night.
Representative J.T. Wilcox, 2nd Legislative District. He's one of the good guys, Tommy, fighting for us.
Yep, absolutely.
Because he's a very passionate outdoorsman, fisher and hunter mm-hmm. as well. All right, jumping out for a quick break. Do not go anywhere. We come back all the way from Montana. Randy Newberg joining us this evening, and we got some great talking points with him that you're going to want to hear right after this break, right here, Fish on Northwest.
Hey guys, I'm Big Mike. Come on down to the Edge Pro Shop and see me. We've got all the best brands under one roof. We've got Hawken, Procure, Short Bus, Pro Troll, Yakima Bait, Get 'em Dry Jigs, Northwest Bait Scent, Daiwa Reels, North Fork Lures, North Wild, Brad's, Superfly, Rocky Mountain Tackle, and of course, the greatest rods ever built, Edge Rods.
All right, welcome back here in studio. Great conversation with Representative Wilcox.
Absolutely.
That guy is just a fantastic individual. I'm so glad to get him back on the show. But moving on, more discussion to have. You know, Washington State, Tommy, is the only state that's dealing with a lot of the things that we try to cover and speak about.
Yeah.
And I had the opportunity to sit down with Mr. Randy Newberg down there in Puyallup at the Sportsman Show. And we attempted to video something there, but the audio and just it didn't quite work out. But man, I tell you what, I walked away from there going, This guy lives in Montana, but he's on such a national level of understanding. He gets it. Plus, he's talked to a handful of folks that are in the trenches here in Washington. So I want to welcome to the first time to the show here, Mr. Andy Newberg, all the way from Montana. Looking good in with your backdrop, outdoor attire on this evening. And glad you could join us once again. Randy, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks so much for having me. These are really important topics, and I'm happy anytime I can talk about them and get them out to my audiences or other audiences. I can share some of my perspective. So thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Randy, you're pretty much known throughout the nation and around the world. Public land hunter, obviously. Huge advocate for that. That's kind of where you put your stake in the ground. Wildlife conservation is huge. You're the host of Fresh Tracks podcast, if folks are looking where to find you, and of course, freshtracks.tv. You and I had some interesting dialogue here this last week that really gave me some hope, believe it or not, as far as, you know, there are really good people out there working in the same plight as like Tommy and I and a handful of other folks that are so passionate about the outdoors. You're out there on the speaking front talking about supporting the right to hunt. You've witnessed over the past few years, you know, attack on hunting and fishing, especially more so in some states than others. If I looking back, you had spoke with on your podcast, Fresh Tracks, Chris Hager and Dan Wilson from Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, really opened your eyes, I think, right? Take away from that, how does Washington State compare to other states in the country with what's going on here in Washington?
Yeah, where it opened my eyes is Chris suggested, he knows I follow this stuff and he knows I like to spring bear hunt. He said, you got to go watch this Washington Commission meeting. This is going to be really interesting. And I think it was almost 2 years ago.
Yeah, 21,
And I watched that, and your biologist, she gave a presentation that was one of the most impressive bear presentations I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And then your commission kind of told her, you don't know what you're talking about. And they voted against it. It was an eye opener for me that, all right, this view I had of Washington as being a bunch of just fanatic outdoor people fishing and waterfowling and big game hunting, something is going on there.
Yeah.
So I really started dialing in. That's when I had the podcast with Chris and Dan. And then I had a podcast with the Conservation Coalition. And then I did a podcast with one of your former commissioners, Chris Thornburg.
Yeah, Thornburg. Yeah,
that was an eye opener.
Sure.
I even though I have a national audience, a lot of people said, Randy, why are you focusing so much on Washington the last year or two? Well, you guys are ground zero. Even though I live in Montana, and a lot of people live, what do they say? Ignorance is bliss, and you know we're just happy doing our own thing here. I'm under no false ideas that someday that's landing on my doorstep here in Montana.
Right.
And I want to kill it where I can.
That's right. Yeah. Some of these people are moving to your state, Randy.
Oh, man.
And if I lived in Washington and I was dealing with all this, I'd be looking at Montana,
sure,
Wyoming, Idaho, wherever. And,
right.
This stuff, wherever hunting and fishing happen, all of us should be concerned.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I don't think it's healthy if we just get in our own little silos of, well, I live in this state or I live in this part of whatever state. That doesn't really affect me. No, every bit of this affects you because the same group that is doing what you're seeing in Washington has identified Colorado as a very similar situation. A sympathetic governor who's going to appoint commissioners that load a commission with people who have a completely different mindset. And there's now going to be a ballot initiative in Colorado. And the same groups are looking at Arizona, Nevada, New Mexico. This is not going away. And I'm trying to raise, I don't want to yell fire too many times, but you guys got a really big fire burning.
We do. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, and those same people in Colorado are very interested in releasing more wolves as well. So also something we got to keep an eye on. And Randy, so I know you're, you know, at this point, you're well informed of the makeup of our current commission. You know what their agenda is, and you've seen what they've done to our spring bear hunt. You know what they think of our wonderful predators, and in their eyes, really the solution is, hey, there's really no need to have hunting exist anymore because we have all these predators that can manage the herd. What is your take on our current state?
Well, that mindset is, I mean, that's so far in the world of fantasy. You know, if you guys want to go and completely restore your state back to how it was 500 years ago, then maybe you have a balance between predator and prey.
Sure.
But when you have, I don't know, what you guys got, 7-8 million people living there.
Approaching 8 million, yeah.
Yep.
The impacts on the landscape, all wildlife, all fish, everything has been pushed to the margins of its historical habitat.
Yeah, for sure.
So the prey species don't have the ability to respond how they did 500 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes for an easy sales pitch on their part. But anyone who thinks about it for very long knows that this just is, it's a fantasy. It doesn't work. And then for me, probably the part that frustrates me, I grew up in a little logging town of 200 people where food from wild sources, natural food, was a huge part of what we did. And this represents a term, the term I've used is urban progressive privilege,
mm-hmm.
that an urban person, usually a progressive, has so much level of privilege that they can't even understand the food and the other health benefits that people have from these pursuits of fishing, hunting, foraging. And they're going to start with hunting. I mean, anyone think that's where they're stopping? No.
No.
And right. It's a complete disregard
right.
for people who rely on that for food.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The people who rely on it the most are usually the people who can least afford to go buy it somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And when they do go buy it somewhere else, it's not nearly the quality of food they get on this sustainable system of hunting that has been here for a long, long time. And for people to have that level of privilege to try and force their worldview on others,
mm-hmm.
that gets me pretty wound up.
Well,
I don't care
what's yes. happening.
Well, for good reason. I mean, you know, it's just everything's so accessible. They will be the first people that struggle tremendously when everything comes to a grinding halt and you can't go to the grocery store, your debit card doesn't work or whatever, right? So they're going to be the ones that are really hurting. But they just feel like worldly possessions and, of course, the ease of just going to whatever store, whatever quick stop and get their bare essentials that they need for the day is what life is all about. We're gonna pause here, push a little long, but we jump out for a quick break. Don't go anywhere. We got round two with Randy Newberg coming up right after this break, right here, Fish on Northwest.
New days, new beginnings, new friends, new loves, new dreams, new goals, new scenery, new job. No matter what the next chapter holds, Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate will be there to help you find the new that's right for your lifestyle at any stage of your life. Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate. Expect better.
All right, welcome back here in studio, Dwayne England, Tommy Dolan, and continuing round two with Randy Newberg. And so, Randy, I have to bring it up. So last year you were here, Washington show, Portland show. You ate some pizza after a long day without food, got the food poisoning. All this can be captured in your Fresh Tracks weekly podcast, episode 32. If people are curious about what exactly happened to you, crashing through some glass, vomiting violently, and food poisoning and slashing your arm. It's a horrific story. Thank God you're still here, my friend, because that was something to go through. But what's the setup this year? Padded room, guardrails, you know, assistant 24/7. What do they got you lined up with down there in Portland?
Yeah, my wife usually doesn't come to these shows, but the Portland show, she said, I'm going to go there and check your hotel room before you left. I don't know if you can see this, but that's what's left of it. If you see me packing my lunch, if I'm carrying the world's biggest Snoopy box, it's because I don't want to get food poisoning in Portland.
Yeah.
No, that makes sense. So, hey, speaking of Portland, Randy, you got some seminars coming up. And there's two of them that I want to ask you about. I'm just going to start with the first one. So you've got a seminar, Hunt Elk Every Year, Here's How. Now, I tell you, I plan my entire year around two elk hunts. My wife knows at this point that it's non-negotiable. So I'm really interested in this seminar. What is this seminar about?
Yeah, it's, ever since these big changes started happening in Washington and Oregon in the last 4 to 5 years, the shows I go to there, everyone's asking me, where can I hunt elk in other states? I want to go hunt another state because things aren't what they used to be here. So I walk people through. Here is how you can hunt elk every year in some other state if that's really what you want to do. And if you follow that process, you'll be able to do it.
Perfect.
Perfect. Now, you got another seminar that I'm also interested in. This one's called E-Scouting, Using Today's Technology to Be a Better Hunter. You know, and then and I'll just say for the obvious reasons, right? I've been looking at your land, Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, a lot more than Washington State myself. And obviously there's, with all the technology we got these days, there's a lot of data that you can dig through. So what do you cover in this seminar?
Yeah, I walk people through an example of what I have. I usually have 5 days to go to a place I've never been to. So I got to figure it out, sort it out, and hopefully pack it out in 5 days. I do more scouting at home from my computer using digital maps, using what I know, and I walk through the basic needs of elk, the 5 calendar periods of elk, where the elk are going to be. So people can eliminate 95% of the unit where the elk aren't.
Yeah.
And they can focus on the 5% of the unit of where the elk are.
Beautiful.
Excellent. Excellent advice. Because, you know, it is awful hard and at times expensive to be successful when you travel to hunt. So, fantastic seminars, but there's one also I think a lot of folks are going to gravitate towards. You and I talked about this a little bit. We've been, you and I have been married to our, you know, respective wives for about the same amount of time. Marriage 101 for elk hunters. Now, this sounds like some expert advice. For those that may not know, how many years have you been married?
In 3 days, I'll hit my 35th wedding anniversary.
Oh, right, congratulations. Yeah, so talk a little bit about this seminar. Is it geared more towards teaching, you know, experienced hunters, maybe who have been married a short time, young hunters who've been married a short time, or even folks that have been hunting for a long time and married for a long time, but every year it kind of becomes a bit of a confliction time of year? You know, is it got a little something for everybody?
Yeah, it's got a little bit for everybody. And the reason I do it is I get asked a lot of marriage advice. Being a CPA for 30 some years,
yeah.
You know, you got a lot of clients. You end up being a bit of a marriage counselor there. And then I started telling people, look, I got it figured out. I've been married over 30 years. I hunt 100 days a year and I fish 40 days a year. Who are you going to take marriage advice from? Me or the guy down the street with his shingle as a marriage counselor hung out there, but he won't tell you he's been divorced 3 times.
Right. Yeah. No, yeah. I'm taking it from Dr. Well, Phil Newberg. That's what I'm doing.
You know what? I'm going to be showing up at your doorstep ready for some marriage advice because
it's really an easy.
I have a confession.
It's an easy seminar. We focus on premarital advice because, you know, there's a lot of things you can do to avoid a problem. And then you got postmarital advice.
Yeah.
Once you know, that's you got a little bit narrower path to operate in there. So, yeah, we focus on that. And it's only 2 slides. So really easy.
Lots of talking, right? Lots of questions, I'm assuming, right?
You know, that's my problem.
Too many slides.
We did it in Puyallup last Saturday. It was the first time we'd done it as a formal seminar.
Right.
It was packed. I could not believe how many people wanted
marriage advice. I believe it.
What surprised me even more is how many guys raised their hand in front of 200 people and asked a question with their significant other right there. When they asked the question, my first thought was, this guy has no idea how long the ride home is going to be.
Yep. Oh, classic. Oh, well, I'm sure a lot of folks are looking forward to it. If I can sneak away from the booth and get it, you know, in Portland this go around, I'm going to come in there and take a look at that one because that one's got me intrigued. So never enough time, always too much info to cover with you. So looking forward to seeing you back down in Portland again, Randy, and thanks so much for taking some time out tonight. I know you're extremely busy, and this was well worth the wait as far as Tommy and I are concerned.
Well, thank you, guys, and keep doing what you do. We need more media platforms that are willing to jump into it like you guys have. I just listened to your conversation with that representative earlier. That's the kind of media we need in the hunting space. So anytime I can help, please let me know.
Absolutely. We're gonna get your boots bloody this summer out on the back step of a 29-foot Guadalupe on Pacific Ocean chasing some albacore. So I know we'll be in touch soon.
All right.
Thanks, guys. All right. Have a great evening. Randy Newberg, folks, and look him up if you're not familiar. Fresh Tracks Podcast, freshtracks.tv. Jumping out for a quick break. We come back. We'll talk a little salmon and steelhead fishing as we get through the tail end of winter time here in the Northwest. Don't go anywhere. Quick break. We'll be back right here, Fish in Northwest.
A Northwest favorite for almost 40 years, Arima boats are manufactured with pride in Bremerton, Washington. All Arima boats are built without any structural wood materials. That is why Arima boats are backed with a lifetime warranty. Arima can offer every boat with Honda outboard packages so that you can take advantage of the reliability and 5-year top-to-prop warranty from your Honda outboard. Call or stop by Arima Boats today and let them help you get into your very next boat.
All right, welcome back in studio here as we're kind of trying to get through this real quickly, Tommy. There's still some great steelhead opportunity.
There
and,
is.
You know, the atmospheric river, I mean, California's getting pummeled.
Yeah, they are.
And so
yeah.
The rivers around here absolutely for the last week, 10 days, have been in actually pretty good condition. Mm-hmm. And looking at the river forecast and the weather coming, going to be very, very mild, and the river's mm-hmm. going to be in phenomenal shape, and I'm going to be stuck down in Portland. But if I was fishing, I mean, you still got some pretty good options here in Washington State. Remember, the Skagit-Sauk opened February 3rd,
yep.
Open through April 17th, 5 days a week. That you need to take advantage of if you haven't. Now, some folks were kind of getting on social media saying, yeah, I'm not, you know, really keen on supporting catch and release, but
right.
It's an opportunity. The numbers are there.
That's right.
The mortality rates are low. It's an opportunity, and we have or lack opportunity. Although,
yep.
You do have the coast, which will remain open for quite some
you
time.
You
yep. do have Southwest Washington, and certain areas in that regard, you can still use bait.
Mm-hmm.
Gallus River is really starting to take off here at this point. We'll fish through April or so, either from the bank or boat,
yep.
as you're going after steelhead. So there is, you know, and of course, Willapa. You still got Willapa mm-hmm. option. There's some bait opportunity out there if you think you need to use it. But it's not all doom and gloom. Rivers are going to be in great shape.
Yep.
I'm telling you, if you got the time and the willingness, you might have to travel
right.
an hour or two or three. Make it a 1 or 2 day opportunity. Get out there and go chase some steelhead because it's a great
yep.
time of year to get after them.
And our good friend Captain Jason Takeyoshi actually took advantage of that, and
he
was out there on the Pacific Olympic Peninsula
yeah.
this last weekend. Did well.
He went steelhead fishing.
He did good little catch and release action.
Oh, fantastic!
So, yep, dipping his toes into the fresh water.
But we also got some blackmouth opportunities.
We do. We got blackmouth coming up Area 10.
Yeah.
March 1st this year, right? And so, really, you know, it used to be January 1st and February 1st, but you know, when you look at it, right, we always close down because of that sublegal encounter, right? So the idea is,
more than not, yeah.
let's get it into March and
yep.
let's see if we can avoid those sublegal encounters
yep.
and kind of spread that season out as long as we can.
Mm-hmm.
And then the one that I'm really looking forward to is when they open up CQ, right? Now that opportunity most likely will be in April this year.
More likely than not. Yep. Have you heard anything as far as, I can't remember what was discussed last, 1 or 2 fish limit, or do we know?
I have not even paid attention.
But you're right, you know, sublegal encounter rate and those 6-pound fish can ultimately be upwards of 8-pound fish.
That's right.
But we're targeting them
yep.
in March versus mm-hmm. January,
which, yep.
and the weather's going to be nicer. You know, it's you have some pretty nice days out there in March mm-hmm. chasing blackmouth. Area 13 is open right now.
Yep.
Area 13 is open year-round, two-pole endorsement. There
mm-hmm.
are a few fish getting plucked here and there.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost as equal to a good, solid effort day put in after steelhead. You get one.
Right.
You might go out there and pop a blackmouth.
Yeah.
That's a successful day.
That's right.
Area 13, either on the troll or on the jig.
Yep.
I'm looking forward to that. We're going to bring you guys a whole lot of that. We got bait labs coming up, both in regards to this latter portion season opportunity for steelhead, and we got some great bait labs coming up to get you ready for blackmouth in all the areas we just spoke of. All right, jump out for a quick break. We come back, we'll close out the show.
All right, let's do it.
Defiance Marine is the one-stop shop for the Pacific Northwest angler. Defiance Marine guarantees the best price on a new and best service on a repower for your current boat. Defiance Marine is a Honda Premier dealership and one of the largest on the West Coast. Defiance Marine is a boat dealer who proudly sells Defiance, Allied, and Arima boats. All boats are built by West Coast fishermen for West Coast fishermen. Defiance Marine has all your boating needs to help you get out on the water.
All right, welcome back here in studio as we wind it down. So we continue, man, through the week. I'm going to be at the boat show tomorrow.
Yep.
You there tomorrow through the weekend?
I am there tomorrow. I
there
am not
tomorrow.
There. I embark on an adventure on Saturday,
this
so I will
true.
Not be at the boat show.
Okay, I'll be up there mostly hanging out in the Ray Marine booth with
yep.
Serdik and the boys. And
there you go.
I think Mark Coleman's up there. And,
yes.
the Viking. If you haven't met the Viking's coming with me.
Is he going to be there?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I'm actually driving up to his place. We're taking the ferry across. I don't want to park my truck in Seattle. Yeah,
make sure you keep that guy in check.
Yeah. Somebody's going to chug him. Seattle Belt Show through the weekend. And then Monday or Tuesday, depending on how the trailer load goes, heading down to just outside of Portland.
That's right.
Everybody says Portland is closer to Vancouver, but it's just the other side of the river at the Portland Expo Hall. The show starts February 14th, as we've said, in Express. No better place to bring your significant other.
That's right, for Valentine's Day.
Than to the Sportsman Show. Yes. And make sure you attend my bait curing seminar, 4 p.m. in the afternoon on the 14th, day one. 4 p.m. bait curing seminar. I believe it's in the Blue Theater. Had a great attendance at the last one. Lots of information covered. People seem to enjoy it. And, of course, come visit us, me and Shing, at booth 251. Get your FHN merch, all the swag and stuff we have. And we'll have Jingling Jigs there selling a ton of them. And, of course, his logo items as well. All right, that is a wrap. We got to get out of here. It's going to do it for us this week here, Fish Hunt Northwest. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great week. Have a great weekend. We'll see you guys soon when we get back. Hey, thanks for joining us here on the Fish Hunt Northwest weekly podcast. I want to remind everyone that you can catch our weekly live stream show on our Facebook page and, of course, our YouTube channel every Thursday evening at 6 p.m. West Coast time. You'll get our insightful in-studio interviews, our extremely detailed how-to segments in the bait lab, the infield segments we bring to you when we're on the water or in the woods, and, of course, our amazing cooking recipes in the kitchen with co-host Sherry England and chef Jeff Maxfield. Give us a follow on our Facebook page at Fish Hunt Northwest. Also subscribe to our YouTube channel at Fish Hunt NW. Find us on Twitter and Instagram. And finally, go to our webpage at www.fishhuntnw.com for all the latest and greatest info. Join us each week here on our podcast. Join us each week at our live production. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you soon.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event, so give your friends something to look at. Like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires. Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.